It is indeed an honor for us to be participants in what the Lord is doing. Today is a family Sunday, so please, for those that have your children, let your children sit next to you. And let us not have children running up and down, especially when the service is going on. Because sometimes, you know, our children are good, but, you know, when they move up and about, sometimes, it's, you know, they're able to destruct the service and the message going on. We love our children, amen? So let us take care of them. Praise be to God. Amen. We would like to hear the word of God. I would like to welcome Pastor Karanja to come and give us the word of the Lord, amen? Hallelujah. Are you ready for the word? Amen. Can you give him a hand clap as he comes? So that he can feel welcome. Praise the Lord. Some of you that have been here, you know that this man has been able to minister to us. And I thank God for the various ministers that the Lord has given us. Amen. I thank God for every opportunity that we have. As I've told you, this pulpit here, it is a training ground. Amen. And when every minister comes to stand up here, it is good for us to listen and to follow and to ask the Lord to help us so that we can follow what the Lord is speaking to us. Praise be to God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. I really am honored to stand here before you. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God." Amen. How many people are led by the Spirit this morning? You are a son of God. I thank God for the opportunity that I've had to minister in this church, our church, and the various times that we've had together in the Word of God. I believe that today is one of those days that we shall continue from where we left off. As a good teacher, I like to know whether the journey that we began has been in vain or whether we've been accomplishing much. Where did we begin? We began with what? Servanthood. We said what? A servant has what? Humility. A servant has humility. I'm helping you. A servant is what? Honest. How many people are here? What else? Tony, you can't remember anything? A servant gives. One more thing a servant does. He prays. That's good. And then from there, we went on to principal doctrines. And we said what? Repentance from dead works. And our faith towards who? God. And we spoke about baptisms. Water baptism. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we spoke about the baptism of fire. How many remember that? We have to keep remembering these things. Because from now, from there, we are moving on to the next level. We spoke about the doctrine of what? Eternal judgment. Resurrection of the dead. Those are principal doctrines. And we said, if you don't know those things, you cannot have a strong foundation in the things that God wants you to do in your life. Amen. And that, they may sound like they are complicated to someone who is new, but the Bible calls them elementary doctrines. They are basic. Elementary school is for small kids. It's not a university for big people. It's for small kids. And even at the university, when you finish your college, you get what? A degree. What's a degree? It's a small thing like this. A degree opens the door to great things. It's not the end by itself. It's just the beginning. That's why you have a circle with 360 degrees. And they give you only one degree, right? How can you define that degree in 360 degrees? It should be something like, you know, pretty small, right? That's what you gain when you finish college. A degree. It opens the door to great things out there that you can do with that degree. Amen. That's the same thing. When you come to the Word of God and you understand the principal doctrines of Christ, repentance from dead works, faith towards God, baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. When you understand those things, you are on the right path and you will understand other great things. Amen. How many people want to go on from where they are? How many people want to remain the same way they are the rest of their lives? I'm sure nobody, right? The same way, this Word of God is progressive. It's not stagnant. You're not meant to come into the kingdom of God and stop right there. It's good to be born again. It's good to know God. You have been chased by the devil from wherever, and you end up at his altar. You are tired. You are beat. And what do? You come in. Oh, my. No, stand up. The journey has just begun. You are not coming to fall there and you stay there. When you come and you fall there, God tells you, right, you have done the right decision. Now stand up and move, for I have work for you. Amen. Where you came from, you left other people. Who is going to reach them if not you? Who? You're not here just to come to church and go home. God has a divine mission in your life. He wants you to do something for him. Where you work, where you go to school, where you go to play basketball, football, whatever you do, God wants you to do something for him. Amen. I have not been with you these last few days, and it's because of the nature of my work. I work every other Sunday, so when you don't see me, I'm working. And I know many of you will concur with that. I don't see you every now and then. By the way, it's nice to see you, Shiro. Shiro, it's good to see you. You have a song today? Come and sing a song before I preach. That's to be in season. She's ready. I never spoke with her before. And she's ready in season and out of season. God bless you.
I've got a song to sing today, and it inspires you that if you're sad, if you're lonely, if everything's going wrong, it helps you be happy and it helps you be cheerful. Hey, heard you were up all night, thinking about how your world ain't right, and you wonder if things will ever get better, and you're asking why is it always raining on you, when all you want is just a little good news, instead of standing there stuck out in the weather. Oh, don't hang your head, it's gonna end. God's right there. Even when you just can't feel him, I promise you that he still cares. When the waves are taking you under, hold on just a little bit longer. He knows that this is gonna make you stronger, stronger. The pain ain't gonna last forever, and things can only get better. Believe me, this is gonna make you stronger, gonna make you stronger, stronger, stronger. Believe me, this is gonna make you try and do the best you can. Hold on, let him hold your hand, and go on and fall into the arms of Jesus. Oh, lift your head, it's gonna end. Right there, even when you just can't see him, I promise you that he still cares. When the waves are taking you under, hold on just a little bit longer. He knows this is gonna make you stronger, stronger. The pain ain't gonna last forever, and things can only get better. Believe me, this is gonna make you stronger, gonna make you stronger, stronger, stronger. Believe me, this is gonna make you, 'cause if he started this work in your life, he'll be faithful to complete it, if only you believe it. He knows how much this hurts, and I'm sure that He's gonna help you get through this. Oh, ooh, 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 oh, oh. When the waves are taking you under, hold on just a little bit longer. He knows that this is gonna make you stronger, stronger.
Thank you so much. That Shiro, God bless you. She came to visit us, and I couldn't help when I saw her. I know her. She's quite talented. Amen. So let's pray. Mighty God, we're so thankful this morning for your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you for gathering us here this morning, and thank you for everything that's happening in our midst today. Mighty God, I come to you knowing that fully well I'm not the best for this job. I'm not the best for the mission, but you have chosen me today. Mighty God, I say thank you. And I commit myself unto your leading and unto your Holy Spirit, that he may lead me and guide me. That even as we sit and listen to your word, you will anoint our ears. You will anoint our, you will open our spiritual eyes to be able to see and to understand where you want to take us. Mighty God, we thank you, for we know there is no stronghold that cannot come down. We thank you that there is no high thing that exalts itself above the word of God that cannot be destroyed by your word. And mighty God, we thank you, for we know that today we are operating under your liberty, the guidance of your Holy Spirit, who will lead us to all truth and understanding this morning. Father, we thank you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So today we are taking a step further. Remember, if you don't understand the principal doctrines, the elementary doctrines of Christ, there is a tape you can buy and go and listen. Amen. We need to be together as we move on, because it's important to move from where you are to the next level. Amen. You don't want to be on the same spot all your lives. No, you want to move on. I told you the other day, it's impossible to understand this book when you read only two scriptures. It's impossible. I grew up in a system in the church where we were reading two scriptures. One from the Old Testament, another from the New Testament, and then the preacher would try and connect the two of them. To me, that doesn't work. Because if you're speaking on a topic, you have to find the thread in the topic. It can be from the Old Testament coming all the way to the New Testament. Some of it may be in the New Testament only. So if you stick to two scriptures, then you are denying yourself an opportunity to expound on what you're talking about. Scripture interprets scripture. The Bible is the best interpreter of itself. It will interpret itself before you. Amen. So, I go through many scriptures, but they are all talking about the same thing. Do not be looking at the number of scriptures we are going through, but look at the topic we are sharing on. Amen. Today, we are talking on the subject of justification and sanctification. Somewhere in the, when we were talking about the servant's hood, we mentioned those two words, sanctification and justification. And we said we shall look at them in the future and see what they are. By the way, let me see your notebooks today. Do you bring your notebooks? Amen. Amen. You got your Bibles too, right? How many people have their Bibles with them? Nice Bibles. Invest some money in the Bibles. Buy a good Bible. You know, like it. Love it. Go with it to church. Stay at home. Read it. It will motivate you to read if you invest in a good Bible. Amen. So Today, we'll look at justification and sanctification. And in the process of understanding what sanctification is, we shall look at the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then we will look at the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's an intensive course, but it's understandable. I will be very simple, I will be very slow, and I will not be in a hurry at all. When we were talking about the principal doctrines, I went through it one time, I did it very fast. This time, I'm going to be very slow. Even if we cover a small portion, let's cover a small portion, but understand it, right? Yes, so we start with our text. Our text is in Galatians 5:22. That's our text. But that's not where we're starting. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That is our text. But we shall look at justification first. What is justification? And what's the difference between justification and sanctification? And why should we know the difference? 2 Timothy 2:15 says what? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, lightly dividing the word of truth. God is telling us something here. You don't need to be ashamed when you're speaking about him. Why? Because you understand what you're talking about. You can rightly divide the word of God. You can know what this means and what doesn't mean. And what is the qualification for that? Present yourself, be diligent, right? To present yourself approved to God. Be diligent. Diligence means you apply yourself to the word of God. Someone who is diligent does something perfectly. He does it over and over again. One of the great inventors of the last century was a man by this American guy, not T.S. Eliot, the great investor. He invented electricity and all those things. I'm forgetting his name. So this guy, he tried to make the light bulb, you know, to give light for over 200 times, every time it failed. Then he was asked, why do you keep at it? He said, because every time it doesn't work, I discover a new way of doing it. So it's not about someone who is diligent will still get there. You may see him failing here one day, one thing, but he will do it again and do it better. Amen. So diligence requires you apply yourself towards the word of God. When we know the difference between justification and sanctification, we can draw a line in the sand and be able to say, this is good for salvation. This doesn't work. This works. That's the difference between justification and sanctification. We got to understand the two of them. And in simple terms, to justify is just to declare righteous. It's just to declare righteous. Justification is, you can read about it more in Romans 3:21. And we're going to look at it, Romans 3:21. We want to understand what justification is, and we are going to the Word of God to understand it. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That verse, we know it very well. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who does what? Who has faith in Jesus. So in short, it's saying God is the one who justifies we. We don't justify ourselves. It's like I told you one time, it's like the devil is right there accusing you in a court of law, or the prosecutor is right there. It could be the devil. It is him. And you are there, you are accused of your sins that you did before. And this is God. And then Jesus Christ is the advocate. He could be on the other side. And God, when the devil accuses you, then Jesus Christ says, he is righteous. He is righteous. You have nothing on him. I paid the penalty he owed. I paid the debt. He paid the debt. He could not, he did not owe. I had a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash away my sins. And now I sing a brand new song. That's a good song. He paid the debt that we owed. That is justification. Right there. You have not done anything. You're just there trembling and you are accused. Actually, you have done it. But the devil, Jesus says, he is innocent. That is justification. Right there, you're justified because you have known him. He is your advocate. You have come to know Jesus. And because you have come to know Jesus, Jesus says he is innocent. He is righteous. That is justification. Justification is instantaneous. It happens the moment you know Christ. Amen. It doesn't happen when you don't know Christ. It happens the moment you come to Christ and know, Jesus, I'm here. I have been a sinner all my life. And I accept you to be the Lord of my life from today. Justified instantly. You don't have to do anything else. That's it. So that is justification. And Romans 5:1 also says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, because you have been justified, don't condemn yourself, saying, oh, I'm such a sinner. Oh, no, I'm a sinner. No, the Bible says we have peace with who? With God. You have peace with God from now on through that justification. With God. God, when you talk, God hears. When you cry, God sees that cry. So now, knowing that you have been justified by faith in Christ, let's now move on to sanctification. We shall not dwell much on the subject of justification. It ends there. There's much to say about it, but we shall look at sanctification now. So sanctification, what is it? It comes from the verb sanctify. Sanctify originates from the Greek word hagiazo. Hagiazo, H-A-G-I-A-Z-O, which means to be separate or to be set apart. In the Bible, sanctification relates to a sovereign act of God whereby he sets apart a person, a place, or thing in order that his purposes may be accomplished. God sanctifies. He's the sanctifier. We see from here, he is the one who sets apart. He can set apart anything. The word sanctify means to set apart. It means to set apart for a divine mission, for a divine purpose. God is not setting you apart to do other person's works. He's setting you apart to do his work. And every one of us has a work to do. Every one of us. Whether you're small, whether you're big, whether you're young, old, we have a work to do. Genesis 2, 3. We shall go back now to the Old Testament. Let's see where God he used sanctification. Where did he use it first? Genesis 2, 3 says, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. He sanctified the seventh day. He set it apart. It is only him who has the power to do that. Not people who did it. It's him who did it. He set it apart. Similarly, God can set apart individuals for what? For his good purposes. The same way he set apart a day, he can set you apart for his own purposes. Amen. So, sanctification involves God more than anybody else. It involves him doing his work in us. That's easy, right? We are together, right? Okay, now let's see another example. Exodus 28:40. Exodus 28:40. The best thing is we have Lorraine there. She comes up with these scriptures very fast. Exodus 28:40. It says, for Aaron's sons, you shall make tunics, and you shall make sashes for them, and you shall make hearts for them for glory and beauty. God is happy when you look beautiful. God is happy. What is he saying here? You make them and they shall look for what? For glory and beauty. Beauty. So you shall put them on Aaron and your brother. On Aaron your brother and on his sons with him. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister to me as priests. Amen. Are we together? We are now in the Old Testament trying to see where sanctification came from. Moses understood it. God ordered that thing. He said to Moses, you shall make tunics. Tunics are nice. God has a sense of dressing up. He knows how to dress up nicely. And he says here, for what? For glory and beauty. God is happy when you look beautiful. He's happy when you look beautiful. And that's why I say every Sunday, I'm going to see my boss. Every Monday to Wednesday, Friday, wherever, I see other worldly bosses. And I go looking sharp, right? Before them. How about on Sunday when I'm going to meet my boss? I look better. Amen. He is the boss of bosses. He has my destiny in his hands. He can declare that I'll go to hell on heaven. Nobody, the worldly bosses can never do that. So when I go to God, I make sure I look good. Amen. I look good. Even if nobody tells me, I know I look good. God tells me, you look good, son. And I say, yes, I look good. I know it. But that doesn't stop there. It's just the beginning, amen, of great things that God wants us to do. Because his business is in your business. God is in the business of changing people's destinies. God is in the business of anointing your life in a new way that you can do better than you are doing today. That we can be able to understand where he's taking us. Not where we are, but where he's taking us. A good leader understands where he's taking his people. And that is what drives you, where you are taking them. Not what they are doing. Not where they are failing. Not where they are murmuring and doing all kinds of things. But you are focused on the mission, where you are taking the people. A good father does that at home. You don't become clumsy and all, discombobulated and lost when things don't work well at home. You are there. You're in charge. You are concerned where you're taking your family. That drives you where you're taking them. Not what they're doing. They can do nasty things. They can do bad things. They can say bad things. But you know where you're taking them. And you are committed to that cause. God is committed in your life. You don't do the right thing every day, do you? No. But God is still committed to you. He still has your destiny in his heart. He wants to take you somewhere. Amen. So let's move on. Moses was ordered to consecrate and set apart or sanctify Aaron's son so that they can minister before who? Before the Lord. That's the same thing, the same principle. Sanctification is important. Without it, we cannot be ministers. We cannot minister before the Lord. Without understanding what it is, we can never be ministers before the Lord. We shall fail in everything we try. Exodus 29:43. That was Exodus 28. The next one, 29:43. And God is talking about the tabernacle here. He says, and there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. God's glory. Do you see that name? Again, glory. You saw it in the other place. So I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priests. I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Amen. God's mission has never changed. His mission was what? When he took the children of Israel out of Egypt, to be their God, to dwell among them every single day. But that's not what happened. When God came to Moses in the burning bush, Moses asked, who are you? He didn't know who this guy was. But a few years later, we see God and Moses being friends. He understood God. He progressed with him. He progressed from, who are you, Lord, to he knew him. And the Bible says he was God's friend. God wanted the same thing with the children of Israel. He still wants the same thing with us today. We need to be God's friend every day, that we may understand him, that he may dwell in us, and we in him. Amen. Sanctification is the process that makes us understand God and understand his divine qualities that we need to have, that we may be able to be ministers before him. Amen. So, the temple or tabernacle of meeting and the altar in the Old Testament was a shadow of things to come. Jesus came to fulfill prophetic and divine purposes as decreed by God from the beginning. That's why Jesus said it's finished. He was fulfilling each and everything God had ordered him to fulfill. When it was done, he said what? It's finished. He finished his work. And that is what we aim to do. We shall look at more at this tabernacle of Moses at a future time. Amen. Are you understanding this? Listen, we need to understand the things of God. They are so easy to understand. They are not complicated. All you have to do is to apply yourself and tell God, I need to understand even more. When I started understanding the things of God, I couldn't even read the Bible. Some of you can testify to that. You have these Bibles in your home, you can't even read it. I couldn't read the Bible. I tried to read the Bible, I couldn't read it. I wanted to read it, but I couldn't. I went to there was a minister from Uganda I was with in Bible school. I could see him reading the Bible all the time. And I was trying to read the Bible, I couldn't even read it. I went to him and I told him, I see you read the Bible all the time. Can you lay your hands on me and pray for me that I may read the Bible? And he laid his hands on me and he prayed for me. And from that moment on, I started reading the Bible. I understood what it was talking about. This is spiritual war. To understand this book, this is spirit. The Bible is not just any other book. There is a spirit of God in this book. And for you to tap into that spirit, it needs God's divine touch to understand this book. Amen. But you can, it's doable. It's not complicated. It's simple. So at some future date, we shall talk about the tabernacle of Moses. Because if we understand the Old Testament tabernacle, we can understand the temple of the Holy Spirit today. Amen. Where is the temple of the Holy Spirit? It's our bodies. Bible says you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. How can you be a temple you don't understand? How can you understand what you need to do with this temple if you can't understand the temple that God initiated on earth? Amen. The tabernacle of Moses is important. Now, let's move on. John 17:15. Jesus is praying for his disciples. John 17:15. He says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. This is Jesus himself. He's talking about people who are going to deny him at the hour that he needed the most. But what is he saying here? I have sent them to the world. He is not seeing their failure. He sees them where he wants them to be. Amen. That's a principle that we need to have in your marriage, in your life, everywhere. You need to see where you are taking your wife and your kids. That's what you see as a husband. That's what you see as a mother, where you take your children. Not what they are going through, not what they are doing, when they disobey, when they do stuff like that. Don't be what? Don't take a detour from your mission. Don't say, oh, this thing is not working. I'm going back to the courthouse to file for divorce, for divorce papers. No, that's not the godly way of doing things. God keeps focused where he's going. He's saying he has sent them to the world. And who are these people he's praying for? Peter is the leader. Who will be the first one to say, let's go back fishing. This guy is dead. He's gone. He came, he did his miracles and all that stuff. We were very happy with him. Now they have killed him. Actually, they killed him and they buried him. So he was fake. Let's go fishing. And Jesus is saying what? For their sake, I sanctify myself. For their sake, I sanctify myself. What does that mean? Jesus himself had to set himself apart for God, giving us a practical example to follow. That's what you need to do as a leader. A leader is not someone who leads the church. A leader starts at home. Amen. That's the biggest challenge that you have, to be a leader in your domain, in your small kingdom, at home. Amen. You could be married, you could not be married, but if you have a family, if you have children, you are a leader. You have to be a leader there for them. Because if you don't do it, someone else will lead on your behalf. And if we want others to follow our footsteps, then we must deliberately set ourselves apart for godly purposes. Amen. Jesus sanctified himself. He set himself apart for God. Not for worldly pleasures, but for God. Why? For the sake of his disciples. He knew these people are weak. These people don't even pray. These people don't fast. But he was setting himself apart for them. Why? Because he knew where he was taking them. And he had their end from where they were, not from where they were standing on. He was not moved by where they were standing. That's why he came to Peter after they went fishing. He comes strolling nicely and standing there. Cool. He's not like, how could you do this? I stand with you for 3 months. No. Peter, do you love me? Simple. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I do. He's still focused. Amen. That's a great example here he was giving. It may look impossible, but just like in the Old Testament where God himself sanctified his temple and his people, he has not left us alone. We have a helper who is more than able to do it if we let him, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus knew these people are like this because the helper has not come. But when I send the helper, they shall be different people. And today, the helper is here. Amen. The helper is here. These are people that this time the helper was still in heaven. They were to wait for him in Jerusalem. 1 Corinthians 6:19. We are still talking on the subject of sanctification. What is it? We have seen it's a process. And we are trying to see what is that process. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? That's a question. The same way God desired to dwell among the children of Israel in the Old Testament, he does so now by the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot be sanctified without the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen. He is the one who enables you to understand where you're going, what needs to be changed. What is the work of sanctification? What does it practically mean to be set apart? What is it? Sanctification can be described as an inward spiritual process whereby God brings about holiness and change in the life of a Christian by means of the Holy Spirit. Holiness and change in our lives. Because we are not born holy. We are not. We are not born good. We are not. I have never seen a parent trying to teach the children how to do bad. I've never seen. If you want to be mean and bad, this is how you act. Yeah? No, I've never seen any parent trying to do that. But I've seen parents trying to tell their children, don't do this, don't do that. Don't. But they never tell them, do that, do that. You have to be mean. You have to be mean. No. It's the nature in us. Amen. To be mean. To do bad. To sin. It's our nature. It's the human nature. But God says, by means of sanctification, I can change that. Let's move on. The process demands a continual warfare that one must wage against the flesh and its desires and dictates. Left unchecked, the flesh will surely lead us all to hell. If the flesh is not contained, definitely we are heading to hell. And that's where the work of sanctification begins. You have to bring the flesh under subjection. If you want to be a good Christian, if you want to be a powerful Christian, if you want God to use you mightily in whatever capacity, that is the rule. 1 Peter 2:7, it says, 1 Peter 2:4. It says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, that's how we come to God, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. God is building you up to be a spiritual priesthood, a spiritual house. 1 Peter 2:4. A spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You cannot offer these sacrifices without the work of sanctification in your life. You cannot. And God says, you come to him rejected by who? By man. Man don't like you. People don't like you. If people don't like you, don't worry. You're not the first one. You're not the first one. People have not liked any. You know, it's not in the nature of people to appreciate everybody and everything you do. No. People have different motives. When you tell them, I have bought a new car, there's someone who will be happy because you have bought a new car. There will be someone who will say, what? How did he get that money? To buy a new car? Oh, how? He must have stolen that money. You know, they start thinking you have stolen them to get the money, you know. And they'll start even saying, I hear so-and-so has stolen some money. And a rumor starts that you have stolen. And you are labeled a thief and you have never stolen anybody's thing. So that's human nature. So don't be worried when people reject you. Peter says, you come like that to Christ, rejected by men, but chosen by who? By God. You're not here by your because of yourself. You are here because God has chosen you to be a spiritual house for him. A spiritual house, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, all by yourself, to offer sacrifices before God. If you go on your knees and you start praying for your family in Kenya, everything works right for you. They start changing. You're offering spiritual what? Sacrifices. Amen. Those are things that you can change by just being yourself and being committed to God's sanctification process. Being born again of the Spirit is the beginning, not the end of a journey. We must submit daily to the guidance and leadings of the Holy Spirit. Let's see another scripture. Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. I want you to look at one word there. Put to death the deeds of the body. Amen. Let me tell you something. If someone comes to you and tells you, Brother Julius, I'm going to kill you. Are you going to be happy? I've got wonderful news. I have good news for you. Pastor, I have the good news. I'm going to kill you. Killing is not easy. And the Bible says putting to death the deeds of the body. You think it's going to be easy? It's not going to be easy. Some things you have lived with all your life. Some things have strongholds in your life. They dominate every thought line that you have. They are dominant in everything that you do. They go ahead of you and give a bad testimony about you. Even when you desire to do what? To give a good example, a good testimony before you. There are things that have strongholds in your mind, in your life. And the Bible says, putting to death the deeds of the body. That's not easy, I can promise you that. It's not easy. Sanctification is a process that's not easy to accomplish if you do not willingly and subjectively apply yourself to the Word of God. Amen. You go, you all your life, you have been someone who is impatient. You never know how to wait for anything. Nothing. Even when you were small, you were given food. You just, give me food, give me mom. Mom, you are crying all over the place. Because you need food. And you grow up, you become a small child. It's the same thing. Mom, I'm hungry, I need food. And you throw a tantrum. And your mom gives you food. And you grow up with that. You go to school, the same thing. When the teacher is asking, who knows the answer? And if the teacher points to someone else, you get angry with the teacher. Because you think you are the only one who can be, you know, you don't have any patience to wait. You start working in your workplace and promotions come. And they promote someone next to you. What? You go to the boss. Where was this promoted? And you didn't promote me. You have no patience to wait for your promotion. You have grown with that. It's a part of you. You get on the road, you want to be ahead of everybody. The lights turn to green, you're not racing with this guy, but you want to beat him to the other side. Why? You are impatient. And now here comes the Holy Spirit. He tells you, impatience, go. What? This is my home. I live here all my life. Where are you coming from? Telling me to go. I'm not going. Bible says, put to death deeds of the body. It's not easy to kill that impatience. That's a monster. That's a monster operating in your life. You have now nothing but anger. You are very angry. You get angry quickly. You lose your temper. Temperature. I usually call it temperature, but it's temper. You lose your temper all the time. A small thing is... You go to the doctor and the secretary tells you, you need to copay. I need your copayment before you. What? You can't give me, you cannot give me treatment without me copayment. And you know you're supposed to pay. You get mad with the secretary. They're there. Right there at the window. For no good reason. For no good reason. You go to Walmart and this guy greets you. Good morning. You don't even acknowledge that. You're angry. For what? That's a stronghold that needs to come down in Jesus' name. Amen. Those are things that the Bible talks about. Sanctification involves bringing down strongholds. You cannot put to death some things easily. They don't go. They won't go. I will not talk about that. I will not give many other examples, but you know what I'm talking about. We can sugarcoat the act of putting to death as much as we want. But one fact remains, it is painful to put something you love or someone you love away forever. It's painful. It's painful to say, from today, I'm not going to be angry. When they criticize me, I'll not be angry. When your friends call you names on Facebook, you don't go and throw a tantrum and start sending threatening messages all over the Facebook. When they make jokes about you, you say, no, I am not going to be moved by that. I know where I'm going. You call me what you want. Say what you want. But I know where I'm going. And I will not be moved by your insults. I'll move because God has called me to a higher calling. Amen. The calling of God is higher than anything we can imagine. It's higher than anything we can imagine. There are some things that seem to belong to us as long as we can remember. We always had and continue having them. They are part of our flesh. They are part of us. And that's why in this scripture that's following, 8:5 says, for those who live according to the flesh, Romans 8:5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That's why You may want to do the best you can for God. You may avail yourself. But there are some things in you that needs to change. Amen. Before God can use you, there are some things that you need to configure rightly. Things need to change. Some bites needs to be added into you. You have less capacity for storage. You have no room for storage. You need to delete some things and new things will come. Amen. It's doable. It's possible. The enemy has been clearly identified here. Who? The carnal mind. Bible says an enmity between God is the carnal mind. The mind that we have. Our own thinking. Our own reasoning. Our own way of looking at things. It's an enmity towards God. We cannot please God by the way we think. But we can please God if his way of thinking is imputed in us. Amen. The Holy Spirit's work is to make sure that we are lined up with God's pattern of thinking. That's his work. And that is the work of sanctification. Sanctification is a process that takes you from there to there. A place called there. To another place called there. Sanctification. Amen. Let's see. 2 Corinthians 10:3 is another scripture. I'm about to close. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For pulling down what? Strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I will not talk about punishing when all your obedience is fulfilled here. We shall talk about that when we talk about spiritual warfare. Right now, we want to concentrate on one thing. This is war. Christianity is war. You are entering into a war zone every time you say, Jesus, come into my life. Welcome. You become enlisted into the army of God by simply saying, Jesus, come into my life. Because we are seeing here, carnal, they are not carnal, but mighty in God for putting down what? Strongholds. We saw in the other scripture that carnal mind is the enemy of God, but our weapons are not carnal. You don't fight against flesh and blood. You will never come into this war and you start fighting people with your fists and kicks and giving them chops and all kinds of things. No, you will never see that kind of an enemy. The enemy is invisible. They are spirits of wickedness, spiritual hosts. That's what you deal with every day. Every day they attack you. They want you to be not a Christian. They want you to fall from eternal life. That you don't enjoy to be with Christ forever. You don't enjoy to live forever. But you die and go to hell. That's the mission of the devil. To come to steal, to kill and destroy. This is not easy. The stronghold, the Bible, when you read here, you may think, I'm going to put down the stronghold in this city. I'm going to put down the stronghold. You can do that. But the biggest battle is in your mind. That's the biggest stronghold there in your mind. That's where sexual immorality stays. That's where disobedience lives. That's where impatience lives. That's where anger lives. That's where bad planning, bad thoughts, so and so. What did he do? Why did he do that? And you start a rumor because of that. That's where everything lives. The strongholds we are seeing here are the strongholds of the mind. Where arguments rise up against the word of God. Just within you. Sanctification is the process that makes you clean and move on. You understand that and you move on. Every high thing that comes up, you pull it down in Jesus' name and you move on. We have a name that's above every other name. We have a name that you can use. Jesus said when he was praying for his disciples, I have kept them by your name. The name of Jesus is a mighty tower. It's a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are what? They are saved. That's the name we need to use. You cannot pull down these strongholds if you don't understand Jesus. When you come to Jesus and accept salvation, it's the beginning of the war. Amen. Welcome aboard. Let's go and fight. But when you have fought the good fight of faith, you have become victorious in your own life. You can be able to go and liberate somebody else. You can stand here and pull down that stronghold in your village. Because you know there is no stronghold in your life right now. It's down. It came down a long time ago. You used to cast people out. You don't cast them out anymore. You used to tell lies. You don't lie anymore. You used to be a fornicator. You don't fornicate anymore. You need to do every kind of evil. You don't do that anymore. Because all those strongholds, they have come down. In Jesus' name. Amen. We shall move on next time. I'm a man under authority. I operate under authority. We shall move on from there next time. And then we shall take a look at the 9 fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's an area we shall dwell on and understand some of the things. Today, I want us to stop there because time is of essence. Amen. We said we are people under authority. And because of God's grace and mercy, we shall stop there. May God bless you. May God be with you. Pastor, I'm going to give back the microphone to you. And may God be with you. God bless you. We shall move on next time from there.